Right now, we're going to go to our Academy Award and our, what are all the different awards? The People's Choice Award.
None of those are the same as an Oscar.
They aren't? Okay. Well, let's bring in a guy who's an award-winning guy anyways, and that is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And he joins us here, thank goodness, and saves a Monday morning for us all the time. Morning, Arthur.
I thought the program last night was better off for not having a host. But I want to know whose voice it was that was narrating over the show.
Oh, that's
the same.
And did anybody notice it was a female voice?
Everything was female. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a female voice, and it was a very sultry one.
No, this is the same. I could be totally wrong about this. I will say that up front, but I thought that was the usual voice that they used. It's just there was so much more of it because there was no host.
No, the voice changes. The person changes when it goes from network to network. That's a network announcer. That's the same woman that does the opening for the Colbert Show. But the Colbert Show, she's much more animated and excited. But every
accepting the award.
I thought she was fine. Let's move on.
All right, tomatoes.
My favorite actor did not win. Viggo Mortensen, I think, was unbelievable in that move in Green Book. And Rami Malek, although he was wonderful in Bohemian Rhapsody, was extremely well cast.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be his problem in life, in career, is what is he going to do now?
Yeah, but yeah.
I don't believe in giving awards to children, like on these talent shows. I think if you're 9 years old, you should probably grow up first. And I don't think first-time actors, if you look back in history, I think most first-time actors who win an Academy Award right out don't do so well. Moving on to tomatoes.
Okay. Speaking about
tomatoes. Is really my subject of the day.
So it's a good segue.
It's totally unseasonal. I usually talk about seasonal food, but I ran out of canned tomatoes, and truly, I wasn't in a panic, but I didn't feel comfortable having a pantry with no canned tomatoes, so I had to run out and buy those. After a week, it got to me. Now I'm well-stocked. And I also have been eating the last few years these pretty good, if not terrific, cherry or grape, they're really grape tomatoes because they're shaped more like long like a grape, so people call them grape tomatoes. I'm so old-fashioned, I call them all those small tomatoes cherry tomatoes, but cherry tomatoes technically are something different. Anyway, this is all thank you for the North American Trade Agreement, because before that, we did not have great produce coming from Mexico. And I am not such a locavore that I'm going to turn down a good tomato from Mexico, or, for that matter, a good red pepper from Mexico. Now, you got to be careful with everything. But certainly with these small tomatoes, the ones that come from Mexico are consistently at least good, if not better than good. And the ones that are grown in Canada, in greenhouses, of course, in the middle of February, are not so good. So I don't buy them the packaging. These are all packaged products. The packaging always has to say where it's from, and you'll see almost all of them are from this time of the year are from Mexico or Canada. Moving on to other labeling, in the supermarket the other day, I have to add that Bob Harned, who loves to eat and likes my cooking, but isn't such a good shopper.
After I took him shopping
the other day, and I insisted, and he spied on the shelf these cans of tomatoes at a very good price at a store where the prices are not so good. And he said, "Oh, look, San Marzano tomatoes." I said, "They are not San Marzano." And if you look at the can, now they had posted a sign over the tomatoes saying they were San Marzano tomatoes, but the can does not say San Marzano, but it used to. Now, you may know this brand. It comes in this sort of white label, unusual for tomatoes. decorated with red and green. And they used to be called San Marzano. And I always had to point out to people, find the product of Italy on that can. Yeah. No, you won't. You won't find any country of origin on those cans because this is the country of origin. And it's domestic tomatoes. They're California tomatoes. Not to say California doesn't grow good tomatoes. Just to say that the ones they put in those cans of San Marzano are not San Marzano. They're not grown in San Marzano, and they're not San Marzano type of tomato. Now here, so it is illegal to call San Marzano tomato San Marzano when they are not imported from a particular area around Mount Vesuvius, just outside Naples. And in fact, in that area, in the San Marzano designated growing area, they do not grow. Well, they grow San Marzano type tomatoes, but the ones that go into the cans are not San Marzano type tomatoes. They're Roma variety tomatoes. But Roma, which is the plum tomato that we all know so well, those plum tomatoes, however, are being grown in particular soil around Mount Vesuvius in volcanic soil, and exposed to certain heat and cool temperatures. It is extremely hot around Vesuvius, that area, and certainly in the valley there, during the day. But it's right by the sea, so it does cool off at night. Anyway, that said, I was trying to think what year this was, but it was probably around 1990. So what is that, 30 years ago? I was researching this subject, San Marzano tomatoes, and I went to San Marzano, which is a town, and there are a lot of canning facilities, as you can imagine, around here. Nocera, Sarno, San Marzano, San Antonio Abate, these are the towns where these tomatoes are grown. So I go to the story was that there were no San Marzano tomatoes anymore, that the variety had died out, and that, you know, maybe a few gardeners, home growers had San Marzano tomatoes, but what was going in the can were Romas. So I went to several production facilities, and the story is no. The San Marzano tomatoes still exist, they thrive, but they're not put into cans so much because they're very delicate-skinned tomatoes, very delicate tomatoes, and even though they're pulpier than Romas and have fewer seeds than Romas, they don't stand up well to modern peeling and canning facilities. So the sturdier, let's call it, Roma tomatoes are the ones that are put into cans. But when I told one of these producers, oh, you know, I heard there are no more San Marzano tomatoes. We were sitting in his office in the canning plant. And he said, well, could you wait just a few minutes? About 10 minutes goes by. He comes back with a sack full, a plastic grocery bag full of real San Marzano tomatoes, which are very long, thin, curvaceous tomatoes, not the plumpy-looking plum tomatoes that we're so familiar with, which are the Roma tomatoes. I said, oh, well, you know, where did those come from? He said, the grocery store down the street. We still grow them, but we eat them. You know, people put them up at home, and we eat them fresh, and we make fresh tomato sauce with them. But we just don't put them in the cans. But the cans of real San Marzano tomatoes do have certifications on them. And I'm going to be out and open here. I buy my canned tomatoes at Costco, where I get the Cento brand tomatoes for $3 a can, which I noticed in my expensive supermarket the other day were $5.49, but usually that you can get them for $4-something. I still have trouble spending that much for a 28-ounce can of tomatoes, but excuse me, in a pinch, There are some tomatoes that I would use, not the ones that are now called, by the way, SM. Look at those old cans that used to be called San Marzano. Now they're called SM tomatoes. You can, in a pinch, I buy Nina. Now, that's another brand that's sold at Costco, and I haven't looked at the price, but Nina is a, I don't know where they're from. The fact is that the largest growing area for tomatoes is not around Mount Vesuvius anymore, in the towns around San Marzano, but is further south, on the border of Basilicata and Calabria. And they grow a lot of tomatoes over there. The largest packing plant in Italy is in Basilicata, which is the region south of Campania, south of where the real San Marzano tomatoes come from. But so in a pinch, there are things around. And I always buy whole tomatoes on the theory that you wouldn't chop them up or crush them or puree them for a can unless they weren't already good whole tomatoes. So I do find that if you buy the whole tomatoes, the flavor is better. But again, in a pinch, in a recipe where I'm going to crush them up anyway, there are some crushed tomato products that are pretty good. I used to buy, now if I'm going to buy a California canned tomato, I want it to be openly a California canned tomato and not one that's disguised as a San Marzano, an Italian tomato. And in that case, I used to buy Red Pack. And I'm assuming that Red Pack is still, it's a little sweet for me. They're good tomatoes, but they don't have the acid sugar balance that I find with tomatoes that are grown around Mount Vesuvius. And as I said, it's not that expensive or hard to get real San Marzanos. Now, I don't know if I've ever gone through the most basic tomato sauce on the air, but it always, I think, deserves to be repeated. And because it's so simple. And I am sometimes, on occasion, tempted to buy a jar of tomato sauce, and then I realize, wait a minute, I'm paying $8 for something that I can make better for like $3.50. So I start out, I cook my quick cook, everyday, all-purpose tomato sauce in a skillet. And for a 28-ounce can of tomatoes, a 9-10-inch skillet is big enough. You can even do it in an 8-inch skillet. So put a couple of glugs of olive oil, like, you know, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, not even, in the bottom of the skillet. And now you have to make a choice. Am I going to make garlic tomato sauce or am I going to make an onion tomato sauce? And for spaghetti, I mostly make an onion tomato sauce. If I'm going to eat seafood or have seafood with it, I would make a garlic tomato sauce. And I like an herb in my tomato sauce, and the onion tomato sauce can go either way with oregano or parsley, and as can the garlic tomato sauce, either a couple pinches only of dried oregano or a tablespoon or so of chopped parsley if you happen to have fresh parsley in the house, which I often don't. Anyway, so you saute whichever, the garlic or the onion, in the olive oil. Now, if you're using onion, you want to do this over very low heat so that you can get the onion soft without it coloring. I always used to joke, well, I still joke, that if you want a Jewish tomato sauce, you brown the onion. If you want a Neapolitan or Southern Italian tomato sauce, you want to leave it white. And to make sure that it is soft and stays white, you can add a tablespoon or so of water after it starts cooking. And that will ensure that it gets soft and still stay white. If it's garlic, you only need to, it depends. I mean, if you love whole big pieces of garlic, you can just slice your garlic thin and saute it until you smell it, which only takes 30 seconds. Or if you don't want to see the garlic in the end, you mince it fine. And for a 28-ounce can of tomatoes, usually one large clove of garlic is plenty. But, you know, who's to say? And you do that again, 30 seconds, and then you add your tomatoes, the whole tomatoes with all the juices in the can. Now, if those of you who have an original edition of Naples at Table, you'll find that I was draining the tomatoes in those days. Because in those days, this is 25 years ago, it wasn't so easy to find good tomatoes packed in puree. We had good enough tomatoes, although looking back, I bet you they weren't good enough, but I thought they were then. We had good enough canned tomatoes, but they came in juice and not in puree. In that case, you would have had to cook the tomatoes a long time before all that juice evaporated, and you had a consistency that was good for pasta or whatever. And I don't want to cook my tomatoes long. The whole point of this is to cook the tomatoes as briefly as you can. And in that case, 10 minutes, 15 minutes at tops. So I put the tomatoes in the pan with the either onion and oil or garlic and oil. And with the side of my wooden spoon, although I also have a flat edge wooden utensil, I break up the tomatoes. Now, if you don't want to do it that way, you can also pour the tomatoes into a bowl and crush them with your hand. Or you can, I used to do this, I don't do it much anymore, use a knife in the can and, you know, every which way chop up the tomatoes while they're in the can. This to save
right, with
you.
The juice.
Pardon me?
With the juice.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I buy good tomatoes, so it has good puree in the can.
Right.
If you happen to open a can of tomatoes and it's all juice, then do drain it. I don't find it necessary to seed the tomatoes. Canned tomatoes don't really have that many seeds, and it doesn't bother me. Some people do that. Even, you know, in Italy, people have time on their hands, maybe. They do it. I've done it. Anyway, I don't these days. And that's it. So put that into your skillet. And the reason I'm using a skillet is I want as much evaporation as possible. So the wider the surface, the more evaporation you get. You put that over medium heat and let it bubble, 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 stirring it a few times. Salt and pepper, of course. I like to use a pinch of hot red pepper flakes, not to make it hot, 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 but just to season it. It's a flavor I like in my tomato sauce. But if you want black pepper, that's good, too. And salt to taste. You don't need more than a half teaspoon or so. You can always reseason it after it's cooked. And let it cook for, as I said, 12 to 15 minutes, and you will have the right consistency and the right flavor for a spaghetti sauce or a basic tomato sauce. I sometimes cook fish in that sauce, in which case I use the garlic, and I always think a fish got to swim. So I, if you cook fish in a liquid environment, they invariably turns out good, and also you get a lot of control. So, you know, as soon as you see the fish is done to your taste, you can stop the cooking. Anyway, and also, if you add fish, I have to remind you that it will give off liquid and it will dilute your sauce. So in that case, reduce the tomatoes a little bit more than you would for spaghetti sauce so that when you add the fish and it gives off its juices, it won't be too thin. If it is too thin, take the fish out with a slotted spatula, put it on a platter, and cook the sauce down a little bit. But none of this should take more than 20 minutes. And you don't have to put a pinch of sugar in if they're good tomatoes. If they're not such good tomatoes, maybe you want to add a pinch of sugar. And that's it. Right. That's basic tomato sauce. It does not have to cook for hours. What cooks for hours is meat sauce,
right.
Not tomatoes. By the way, speaking of fresh tomato sauce, I cook fresh when tomatoes are in season in August. I cook fresh tomatoes the same way, but I do peel them first. And if you cut those tomatoes, even if you cook canned tomatoes, here's one for you. Take your canned tomato, drained in this case, and cut them into lengthwise strips. Put them in a skillet, just like that, with your couple of glugs of olive oil and raw garlic. It's all together now. And just cook it 10 minutes. Filetto di pomodoro. Filet of tomato.
Yeah, and that's
That's one of those things, I think, like making a crepe. Either you know how to do it or you don't. Because it either comes, I've seen people make it and it's just been awful, and I've had it out of this world.
Well, I think it's like everything, Jill.
Oh, do you?
And practice makes perfect.
That's, all right, so.
You know, and cooked, tomatoes cooked that way, just with you combining it all. And by the way, you know, change one ingredient and you have a different dish, Italians will tell you. And if you add oregano to your tomato with garlic and oil all in the same pan, which only takes 10 minutes, you've got pizzaiola.
No, that's true.
And so you can make grill a steak and put that delicious tomato sauce on top, and you've got steak pizza a la pizzaiola. Unfortunately, in Naples, when you order steak a la pizzaiola, usually you're getting thin slices of terrible meat that have been semi-braised in very good tomato sauce. So you sometimes just want to mop up the sauce and leave the meat over. But I did cook with a chef in Naples 30 years ago, and he is a young man. You know, Naples is a very dangerous place for people who live there or grow up there or grew up there, but it's not dangerous for tourists. I have to say that because people are always scared to go to Naples. You know, these cruise ships dock in Naples and nobody goes into the city. They all run off to Pompeii or something. Or the Amalfi Coast or Sorrento, when Naples is one of the great cities of the world. And it's not dangerous for tourists, but it is dangerous for young men. And I have a friend, and she always says, I'm so happy my sons left Naples when they were young. They're both merchant marines, because if they stayed home, they'd either be dead or in the Camorra. The Camorra is the Neapolitan mafia. So this chef had the same story. He left as soon as he saw what his future might be in Naples or might not be in Naples. He left and went to London. And he was trained as a chef in England, in London, and worked in restaurants in London, and then went back to Naples for a visit to his family and met a woman, and they got married, and he ended up back in Naples. But now he was English-speaking, and to Neapolitans, extremely well-trained chef. And he became the chef at the best, at that time, 30 years ago, the best restaurant in Naples. And so he said to me, he said, you know, pizzaiola does not have to be made with bad, thinly sliced meat. It can be made with a great steak, and that's what he did in his restaurant. He made a great steak on the grill, and then he topped it with this tomato sauce of just tomatoes, garlic, oregano, oil. That's it. So moving on to the grape tomatoes, I make sauce with grape tomatoes in the middle of the winter. We are in the middle of February, everybody, and yes, I'm talking about tomatoes, which is normally a summer subject because around our parts there are no tomatoes, really good ones, worth eating until July or August. And they only last until October. So, if that. So I do crave tomatoes. You know, I always used to crave them and I didn't eat them. And now I crave them and I buy these cherry tomatoes, which you can even put on a sandwich, I've discovered. You can cut them in half and what we like to do is have open-faced, like an open-faced tuna fish sandwich. It's wonderful, actually. And pave the tuna fish with cherry tomato halves. It really makes it seem more festive than a tuna fish sandwich. But I make sauce with them, and I make both cooked sauce and raw sauce. Now, cooked sauce, you can start with halved tomatoes, or way I learned how to do this in Puglia, and they just call it smashed tomatoes, and you can have them actually as an antipasto or side dish or put them on something. But you take the whole tomato, you wash them, don't dry them, just wash them in a colander, and in your skillet, put couple of whole cloves of garlic lightly smashed under your heel of your hand, and cook those until over low heat until some of the flavor is rendered into the oil, and you can turn those cloves of garlic a couple of times. Don't let them brown. And throw in your still wet grape tomatoes, and immediately turn up the heat and cover the pan. And then shake the pan a little bit to get all those tomatoes coated with the garlicky oil. And like popcorn, like when you're in the old days, we used to cook popcorn on top of the stove and you had to shake the pan. Now I gather young people don't even know that that's how popcorn is made. They think it only goes in the microwave. Anyway, so shake the pan. And after about 5 minutes, oh, by the way, the garlic won't brown because you have wet tomatoes in there. After about 5 minutes, uncover the pan, and some of those tomatoes will already be tender enough to smash under the back of a wooden spoon. And so go around and smash a few that are ready to be smashed. Then recover the pan. Now you've got even more moisture in there. And after another few minutes, you'll be able to smash more tomatoes. And in the end, all your tomatoes should be smashed, and there should be nice thickened juices at the bottom of the pan mixed with garlic and oil. If you want to add your oregano or parsley, this is the moment at the very end. And as I said, I use dried oregano. I never, ever use fresh oregano. And so it's one of the staples of my kitchen. I buy really good Sicilian oregano. My friends from Campania, from Salerno, bring me oregano from the hills of Sorrento. I must tell you that if you're in that neighborhood, anywhere in southern Italy, oregano is a great thing to bring home. It doesn't weigh anything, doesn't take up much space, and it is, in general, way better than stuff you buy in the supermarket, which I find too aggressive. All these herbs have different flavors depending on where they're growing and what other vegetation they're exposed to. Now, to make a raw sauce with cherry tomatoes, I not only have them, depending on their size, I could quarter them or even cut them. You cut them as small as you have the patience to cut them. And I use my serrated blade knife for this. It goes very fast. And I would say that you need I do everything for two, so that's 6 ounces of pasta, a cup and a half of cherry tomatoes wouldn't be too many. Put them in a bowl, the cut-up tomatoes, and then you decide. I always use garlic. I don't put any raw onion in things like this. Actually I do, but that's another thing. In this case, I would use garlic, minced fine. Capers. I always keep salt capers in the house because they last forever and blah, blah. And I find them way better than capers put under vinegar, which is what mostly they are. And then some olives if I have, green, black, whatever color. And tuna fish, and a can of tuna fish that gives some protein to this. So just mix that, and olive oil. So you just mix that all up, tomatoes, capers, olives, garlic, tuna, again, a pinch of oregano would hurt. Some fresh parsley wouldn't hurt, one or the other. And just let it sit. I like to do it in the morning, and then we have it for lunch. Tomato paste will have to wait for another day.
Yes, you are such a professional, not only as a chef, but as a timer. Thank you.
How many years have I been on the radio?
30. A while.
If I didn't get it right by now, I'm never going to get it right.
That's correct.
So I will say
adieu.
Farewell for the moment. I'm excited today. Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
I'm getting a gel treatment for my arthritic knee. Nice. I'll tell you next week if it works.
I should.
Okay, Arthur.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
Arthur Schwartz, the food man.